What's your report this morning?
Well, I'm sure you've got all the information I have. Roughly 76 sorties, 3 aircraft lost, a small amount of damage done. Of the 300 sorties programmed, all of the others, some 225, were canceled or diverted because of adverse weather. In the south, there are 2 very large operations going on, one involving 10,000 Allied forces, South Vietnamese, Korean, and U.S., and the other involving 7,000. Of the 7,000, 5,000 are Marines. They're very intense conflict in each case. The VC have initiated a rather high level of incidents the last 3 or 4 days, not as high as during that early part of the pause, but still higher than, substantially higher than the Tet period.
How are we doing in these 2 operations?
We seem to be doing fairly well. The casualties are what they describe as light on our side and fairly heavy on the VC side. It's too early to say, really, particularly in the one known as Operation Masher. The forces are still engaged, and I wouldn't want to tell you what the outcome would be in terms of net advantage. The Viet Cong losses to date in that operation, which is about 3 or 4 days old, are 312 killed and 103 captured. So the losses have been high. U.S. casualties were 68 killed.
That's it within this week?
Well, it's since about the end of the 24th, which would be, say, 5 days ago, roughly.
Now, what do we do with our bombing program? We have something every day?
Yes. You authorize 300 a day against lines of communication, and we'll run those subject only to weather limitations. The weather forecast is not particularly good.
Did it come off? I know the weather's not satisfactory, but from the other public angles, as good as you expect?
I think so. I've been watching the news, and it looks to be reasonably well handled there. We lost 3 aircraft, which lies within that 2 to 6 figure I gave you. The 3 was a little higher than I would have anticipated for the number of planes that got over the target. So the anti-aircraft fire was said to be intense,
which may be a bad omen for the days ahead.
Well, it may be. It was too small a sample to really draw a firm conclusion from, but it's certainly something to watch carefully.
Did we get much results in your judgment?
No. My judgment is we accomplished practically nothing. Now, that's just a preliminary judgment, Mr. President, because the weather was so bad that it was very difficult for the pilots to report results. But what they did report, what I've seen and what happens in under these circumstances, leads me to think the results are very small.
What's your week look like? Where do you go this week?
Buzz Wheeler and I go back to Russell tomorrow, and then Wednesday is open, and Thursday and Friday with Rivers.
What's your evaluation of the hill this week? What should we do?
Well, I'd like to comment on it later today. I'm not quite certain how they'll all react to this. My feeling is it'll dampen down some of the opposition. I think the 70-odd congressmen and the 15 senators will be a little more quiet this week than they were last. You're still going to have the Morses and the Greenings fighting, but I would think the others will fall in line and support you.
Did you think that letter was curt and bad taste reply to them?
I thought that was a rather fair letter. We gave a long list of our views
in the attachment.
No, I thought that was quite reasonable. I thought their letter was curt and unreasonable, but I thought your reply was fine. And it was so much better than some of the early drafts. Have you been criticized for the curtness?
Yes, they say that I was, that they were insulted, that it was too curt. I said that I received your letter. I'm glad to have your opinion. I am guided in my thinking by this resolution, and to give you insight about how I feel in the matter, I'm attaching a somewhat lengthy letter that I wrote last week to the congressman. Now, I don't know what else I could do. The purpose of the letter is to acknowledge receipt of it, to thank them for it, and to tell them how you feel about it.
No,
but they all played that up a good deal yesterday. Bill told me that he was at dinner with Bobby Kennedy night before last.
Which would that have been, Friday night or Saturday night?
That was Saturday.
Saturday night, a big party Saturday night.
Well, he was there Saturday night, and he said that Bobby told them all that he thought we had to resume bombing.
Good.
And he gave his reasons for it and said he thought we'd done everything we could. And they asked him why, and he said, well, they tried every government, and they've all come in, and the pause has been of no value. And I advocated, but it hadn't turned out good. Second, I just think we got to do it. Bill said, I wish you'd say that publicly. Well, he said, I'm saying it. But the papers yesterday quoted him as being against it.
I saw that. I was disturbed by what I read in the paper because I'd spent, as you know, an hour Saturday morning, and when I left, he just about taken the attitude he did with Bill, although he didn't say it publicly. I think the comment in the paper yesterday must have been
two or three days ago,
that's right.
That's the way I analyzed after Bill said. Now, do you see much danger in this United Nations operation?
No, I like that, Mr. President. I think it's important that we keep a series of peace initiatives going along here. And I'd surely do that.
What if we miscount our votes up there? I'm a little worried, but Max says Goldberg's all right. But if he should get an order to us to do something we can't do, we'd have hell.
I don't think that'll happen. I don't know. I just have to rely on them because I don't have any independent feel of those votes. But I think we could rely on the Soviets to veto almost anything that we would find acceptable or that Britain would find acceptable.
Is any danger of Westmoreland coming in here and saying we've hamstrung him or we haven't given him what he needs?
Mr. President, I don't think so. I really don't, because I think Buzz Wheeler would agree that isn't true, that we haven't hamstrung him and we have given him everything he's asked for. Now, the discussions that are going on now may lead to a request greater than he has previously made and difficult for us to accede to, but that's too early to say. I just talked to Buzz a few minutes ago this morning and asked him when he thought Westy was planning to go to Honolulu. He said he thought on Thursday or Friday of this week and stay there for two or three days working with Sharp on this exact problem. And I told Buzz then that I thought that either we ought to go out there for a day or Westy or his G3, who is a fine officer named Depew, should come back here. I am a little wary of having Westy come back, not for what he would say, but for what they'd do to him. You get him before Morse or something like that, and it could be very unpleasant. And I don't really see the need for Westy to come back here if we can get in contact with Depew or get in contact with him out there. In any event, if he did come back, I think it highly unlikely that he would be critical of the way he's been treated in terms of supply of troops and munitions.
If he did and he went before any committee, I'd make him go before Russell and let Russell, since he's a general, chair it and tell Russell, you let it happen, provided he gives him protection from Morse.
Absolutely.
And I think that might run Morse and Fulbright and him under the table. Conceivably could. I would be against it right now, but if he did do it, I would think that that's the way to do it, but I wouldn't consider it. I was a little troubled about the Alsop column this morning. I'm totally unfamiliar with any act. Well, it says that I have criticized Kennedy for calling up the reserves, and I mimicked him. I never heard of it in my life, don't know anything about it. You ever hear me mimic Kennedy?
Never
you ever hear me say anything unfavorable about Kennedy in your life?
Absolutely not.
Well, he says this, and apparently somebody tells him that I do it, but I never heard of it. Now, I shuddered at calling up the reserve because I thought if we called up reserve, we'd have to call controls, we'd have to go taxes, and I thought they'd just murder their program, which then was in its final days up there in the Congress. But this looks like somebody out there is telling him some of the things about the need for reserves along the line that Johnson was talking, but that maybe somebody in Mac's office or somewhere.
Mr. President, we might need the reserves in the future, but I can guarantee you that we haven't needed them to this moment. Now, I'm sitting here right now, as a matter of fact, with Cy Vance and Tom Morris, and this is the subject we're talking about because We want to be absolutely sure we know exactly what Westy needs and the degree to which we can meet that requirement without calling up the reserves.
Let's do everything that we humanly can except lose the war.
Absolutely.
Because we just tear ourselves to pieces and make this administration a flop and let the Republicans take over. Okay.
Fine.